Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The biggest convention of its kind ever in the UK, Wrestling MediaCon 2018, is heading to Manchester on the 8th and 9th of September. Wrestling MediaCon 2018 will feature live wrestling shows from Revolution Pro and Impact Wrestling, meet and greet with all the talent, panel discussions from the likes of Inside the Ropes, and workshops on how to get into the world of professional wrestling from former WWE writers and bookers. There will also be guest matches from Defiant, NGW, and an NWA World's title defense by Nick Aldis, taped for £10 of gold. Other names announced for Wrestling MediaCon 2018 include The Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, Colt Cabana, Sean Waltman, Cultaholic, Botchamania, myself and Ollie from The Wrestle Ramble, and many more to be announced. Wrestling MediaCon comes to the Bowlers Exhibition Center in Manchester, England on the 8th and 9th of September. Tickets are available now from WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis, and I'm joined on this special WrestleMania Predictions Day by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. Happy WrestleMania weekend.
And a happy WrestleMania weekend to you too. The sort of day calendar-based joke at the moment is Rusev Day this, Rusev Day that. It's WrestleMania weekend.
You and I, we watched the Shinsuke Nakamura Chronicle documentary they've currently got up on the network, which someone has since informed me was on YouTube first. And then we watched their new top 10 WrestleMania moments with the Coachman, Come On Coachman, and Charlie Caruso, filmed very much in front of a green screen, but in the WrestleMania Center, big air quotes for podcast listeners. And that really did gear me up. Us talking about WrestleMania got me very excited, but just seeing, like, because Evolve had a show yesterday, and Matt Riddle's Bloodsport was yesterday, and everyone's just kind of getting really excited. We've got Spring Break tonight, we've got more Evolve stuff. I've got WrestleMania fever, man. And then Saturday, we've got Ring of Honor and NXT.
Same here, yeah. I'm looking forward to coming back on Sunday, where we'll be back on Sunday reviewing NXT. We might review the main event of Supercard of Honor as well. We'll see how we get on for time. But yeah, I guess because my lady partner is working tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So maybe this guy, Bowl of Cornflakes, gonna watch a few bit of indie wrestling there, mate.
Lovely, a little bit of indie wrestling there.
Gonna watch a little there. Bit of indie wrestling.
Oh, well, when you do, let us know you're logging.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. How can we keep up with all the various streams?
I know, right?
We're trying to do it legally,
it's all on
sometimes
Fight.
We can't.
It's just all on Fight TV.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, okay. Evolve's on there, Bloodsport's on there, and all the stuff on tomorrow is on Fight TV as well.
Fight TV's pretty good for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, because Ring of Honor have got their new streaming deal going.
Yeah, Honor Club's just launched, hasn't it?
So I was trying to figure out which one's more financially viable, but I'm sure we are on a mission to be subscribed to every streaming service. That's what Ramble Club has done to us.
Yep.
We thought, hey, let's launch another podcast. That will get more Patreons in, and, you know, we could help. That will help us out, getting a bit more money. But all that money has just been eaten up by wrestling subscriptions.
God damn them.
To fuel the Ramble Club.
Unfortunately, as well, we are currently 6 days into April and we haven't recorded Ramble Club yet, which means we're now, at this point, we're going to have all of the matches from March and a lot of stuff over WrestleMania weekend we'll probably end up covering in Ramble Club.
I think I see Ramble Club as more of a middle-of-the-month release. Yeah, because Wrestle Ramble Extra is at the end of the month.
Trying to space them out. And we just released a 4-hour Wrestle Ramble Extra. Like, the people don't need more of us. Like, they've had us every single day this week. Like, the last thing they need is more of us.
But the Patreon people, or the Pledgehammers. Do you think more people are going to donate because they've got a cool name now?
Well, here's the thing. So, I was actually just checking out the Patreon community over there that we discussed yesterday, and it
was that was too Michael Cole for my liking.
Was it?
It was just that it sounded like Wrestle Talk Universe. Been checking out the Patreon community.
Well,
call them the Pledgehammers.
So, well, that's my point here.
Okay,
Dillon, because they call themselves Community Ramble at the moment, and he's put up a post asking for their official name. By lunchtime today, I will type up a list of all the names submitted last night. If anyone has a suggestion they missed out on or submitting it, add it here to this list. Once I post this list, everyone pick the three names they like the most, and I'll leave it up to the weekend. And after WrestleMania, I will email Luke the names that we would like to be called.
Whoa, we've created something that's... It's like the robot I made... has become self-aware.
It's Skynet all over
again. We give the
names. As I said, I was like, that is a better democratic process because currently we just picked a name and have given it to you.
The lazy man in me is a fan of doing it this way. Where people, don't worry, I've already done it. Here's what we've decided. Cool, I'll take that. But there is another part of me that's like, guys, I've already decided.
Yeah.
You're called Pledgehammers.
Also, I don't think they're going to come up with anything better than Pledgehammers.
But if they vote, have you put Pledgehammers in there?
Well, I mean, I haven't. Hey, man, it's a democratic process. Like, James Dillon is collecting everything together anyway.
Has anyone suggested Pledgehammers?
No one has added anything yet, but he's going to take Pledgehammers from the YouTube comments yesterday, so he will pick that up.
You should. Can you write on there now? This is like live.
Hold on, Luke.
Just, you know.
We're currently recording the Ramble podcast.
I'm not allowed to type stuff
intro
in the podcast,
and outro, but I'm talking while I do it, Ollie, so it makes it funnier. You just type and then go fill time, will you?
Yeah, or I just type when you're talking. Anyway,
Ollie
get annoyed with me.
Wants you to make sure that Pledgehammers
is a choice, isn't it?
In the list. Right, I've posted it now.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway. So
that is, we've had our suggestion. If it doesn't win, I'm kind of hoping us endorsing that gives it a bit of weight.
Yeah.
Or maybe we totally Roman Reigns that situation and people turn on Pledgehammer.
Pledgehammer's kind of doo-dun, 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 boo.
Yeah.
Are you excited for the level of boos that Roman Reigns might get at WrestleMania 34?
No, I'm not. It's not a situation I enjoy anymore.
They
talk about it in the show. Like, before it was fun to boo Roman Reigns, and then it was kind of fun to disagree with people who boo Roman Reigns. Now I've just reached the point where I want it to stop. I don't enjoy the debate anymore.
It's not us, mate.
It's just broken records and what's the word when I can't remember the phrase now, but like when stuff becomes empty arguments because you've just heard it so many times.
Mate, well, no, I hear you, man. But do you want to have a little bit of correspondence before we get into the show?
Hit me up.
So this was an email we got in yesterday from Ben Matthews entitled, "The Wrestle Ramble May Have Saved My Life."
Whoa.
Now, we get these sort of emails all the time, and I really like getting these emails. It is a bit of a humble brag. But no, humble brag is more like if something that I'm moaning about that I'm then discussing.
Now, we save a lot of people's lives, but this one here...
Well, no, it's because we get a lot of these emails in, and people's like, you know, I'm very down in the dumps, and your podcast really sort of inspired me to get out and just, like, do something else. And I love that. But this one here, this really did... I've just got to read this to you.
Cool.
So just for a bit of context, I've been listening to Wrestle Talk for years now, and I've been listening to the Ramble since last year's Mania predictions when Luke started with Wrestle Talk. Back then, I used to comment on every news video criticizing Ollie's choice of t-shirt because he went through a cycle of three every week, but now I just like to sit back and enjoy the content. I have often heard yours and Ollie's emails on the Ramble before, but never had a good enough reason to send one. Until now. So a while ago, I heard about this phenomenon known as the butterfly effect, the basic idea that one small unrelated decision from somebody can vastly affect someone else. Anyway, the story goes like this. A few months back, the Beast of the East was a thing. I think it was Beast from the East was a thing, was it? It was the snowstorm we had. I was on my way back home from work and was walking to my car from the train station, remembering I had downloaded the latest Ramble podcast as it got posted just as I left work. There was snow everywhere and the roads were icy as it was the first day of the storm. I got into my car and before I set out, I set up the Ramble on my Bluetooth speaker that takes a few moments. Once I heard the iconic "Support Wrestle Talk," I set off, which means that he sat there and listened to the little plug that we have at the start that was probably plugging the magazine. Just as I pulled just as I pulled out of my car's parking space and drive slowly toward the road, a massive overzealous pickup truck came quickly around the corner I was just about to turn on. As a result, right in front of me, this truck slid over to the other side of the road where I would have been. Wow. Thankfully, no one was injured. However, I had a thought. If I had not taken that extra few moments to connect my speaker and listen to the Ramble, the truck would have smashed my driver's side and likely seriously injured or maybe even killed me based on the speed it was going / sliding. And also, as an apprentice, I drive another epiphany, I thought that that episode posted only moments before I was leaving work, which is kind of scary, as if you'd waited a few minutes more to post it, the consequences wouldn't have been great. So yeah, my advice for anyone out there is don't wait to listen or download the Ramble, as it may save your life, and it's sort of entertaining. Unfortunately, I'm not on an iPhone, so I can't leave an iTunes review, but it would be a solid 4 stars. Good luck for Mania Week, you've got one grateful fan who will be listening every day. Anyway, I've rambled enough. Thank you for reading, Ben Matthews.
Wow.
What an email.
Wow. I mean, the wrestling mind in me presumes that turned into a feud.
What, between him and the truck?
Yeah. Or the driver of the truck. I've seen Stone Cold get hit by cars.
It is, yeah.
This is long-term booking.
Stone Cold done got run down. He's going to come back at Survivor Series.
That is very kind that you attribute your life being saved to us. But this is a show of the anxiety in me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm worried that we're posted. Like, if we post something at the wrong time and someone dies, we can't claim responsibility for that and then not claim responsibility for all the other people who have died because of the podcast.
How do you think I feel? I load this podcast. Yeah. It's my responsibility. I am, as my email says, head of podcasts.
Yes. This was obviously sent in with the best intentions, but now, oh my God, the weight of responsibility is going to crush us.
But anyway, I really enjoyed getting that email there from Ben.
We'll just do a 24/7 live stream, and then everyone can sit at home and watch us and be safe in their homes.
Maybe that's a good idea.
Oh, God.
One last one. I'll try and alleviate yourself here. From Mitchell Henderson. Last year, I moved from London to New Zealand. Pay-per-views over in New Zealand usually go live around lunchtime, so watching them with friends during the day was an easy and fun tradition. However, now that I'm watching them by myself from midnight till 4 a.m, I find myself falling asleep before the main event. Mm. How on earth do I stay conscious for these 7-plus-hour shows of WrestleMania? Any tips and tricks that will help?
Cocaine. It always helps.
Funny enough, he actually said, I'm not looking to start a cocaine addiction.
Damn it.
Anything else will be better.
Okay, just don't watch them live.
Because you don't watch pay-per-views live.
No, because I'm just not wired that way anymore. I did my night shift stint. It takes years off your life. And I like waking up early. I love waking up early, me.
What was the pay-per-view you watched live? Was it Rumble?
It was Royal Rumble 2017.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's it. I'm not doing this again.
Because I came in to record the movie podcast that week, and you were like, I haven't recovered.
It was like 4 days later, yeah. I'm not geared that way. I've got quite a specific regimen and schedule at home.
So just this year...
I don't like to deviate.
But this year, you're just getting up at 3 a.m. to start watching it. Like, I don't
That is more
it.
Appealing to me.
I don't get it,
staying
man.
Up late.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm watching it live this year. I watched the Rumble live. I have to watch some of these pay-per-views live. I can't help myself.
Mm.
But actually, no, it's all right. The last pay-per-view you watched live was SummerSlam last year because we watched it together.
Oh, yeah. Didn't like that either.
And it knackered you out, didn't it? Especially yeah. because we were working as well. We would watch a match and then we would come in here and record something to react to it.
I was going to sleep in our little office
That's right, and
then wake up and record the review. And I was, it was like 6 a.m. and I started to go to sleep, and then I saw a rat run across the floor, and I was and I couldn't get sleep, so I just wrote it all and filmed it and died. But should we get on with the show?
Why not?
And this is not just going to be me versus Luke in these predictions. It's not just going to be us versus Wrestling with Regrets Brian Zane, who cruelly and dastardly destroyed your hat, Luke.
That little bugger he is.
We will also be going up against our lady partners. That's right, it's one of the big four or five if we include Money in the Bank. We did it for Royal Rumble. You all seem to like it, weirdly. Our lady partners, who have very little knowledge of wrestling and don't particularly like it, have given us their predictions for each match too.
They certainly have, although my wife has just literally told me the people she thinks will win, as opposed to giving reasons this time round. I asked her if she could possibly give some reasons, give some context for her choices, but she's been very busy at the moment, so I only have her choices.
Well, I've got a little line for each one, and in one notable case, just no prediction.
Wow.
It's just a missed off prediction, and she said, oh, do you want me to give you one? I don't know who they are. And I said, it's funnier this way. You'll see what I mean. So, of course, Wrestling with Regrets predictions are going to go up on his channel. We will link to it when that's up. So there might be a weird bit where there is no video beneath us when we do the plugs at the end. But in the spirit of the women's revolution that we have embraced by allowing women to partake in our big four,
we are embracing them with power. Yeah. What was that documentary they did, the 24 one? Empowering. We're empowering them with the options of letting us know what they think will happen on a show they don't care about.
Mm. Because our white male privilege is letting us do this. So thank you, white male. Let's all take a moment to acknowledge our white male privilege and say thank you, white male privilege, for letting us to involve ladies.
But also we need to...
What a weird roundabout world this is.
It really is. And we should almost have a bit of a callback to our old movie podcast, where we should apologise for also being a straight white male.
I'm not going to do that anymore.
No?
No, I'm not an apologist. I'm going to apologise for... I think it's much better that I apologise for being dumb a lot of the time.
Yep.
And not very good at wrestling predictions. So, in the spirit of the women's revolution, as we said, we will kick off with the kickoff of the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. You might not recognise that name. It used to be called the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal, but they've changed it to just WrestleMania. Did you hear about the Chris Jericho story?
I did not.
So apparently, when all this controversy was happening about the Fabulous Moolah name, Chris Jericho said he texted Vince McMahon and said, you should call it the Sensational Battle Royal, after like the Sensational Sherry. And apparently Vince just texts back, THX, thanks.
You know? Oh, right. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Shut up.
I thought it wasn't a case of just like, he's a big fan of George Lucas's big sound design thing that he created.
No, it was just Vince's way of saying, shut up, Chris. Nobody asked your opinion.
Yep.
But he came up with the Money in the Bank match idea. You've got to give the man some credit. So we have very few people sort of confirmed for either of the Battle Royals.
They've confirmed two more names since we created
have
this
they?
List.
They've confirmed
Absolution in there.
And we might get an extra match. Maybe Banks and Bailey. I think that's going to go on, though.
That's going on. That's going in this, let's be honest.
So, out of all of these people, I will let you go first, and I'll go, then we'll do our lady partners.
So, we currently have listed...
Nightly,
mate. Mm. So, currently we have got Sasha Banks, Bailey, Becky Lynch, Naomi, Natalia, The Riot Squad, and Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose confirmed for this. No doubt there'll be some NXT lasses in there as well. My prediction for this is Becky Lynch.
No, really?
Becky Lynch, absolutely. I think that Banks and Bailey are going to possibly eliminate each other, or there'll be some shenanigans where the one eliminates the other one gets back in and throws the other out. But I don't think either of them will be involved in the finish, and I think this will go to the last kicker herself.
Interesting. Well, I've got a bit more faith in the Banks-Bailey storyline. I think that's the hottest feud outside of the championship matches. To be honest, it's a better feud than Charlotte versus Asuka, storytelling-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the second best one. I think they're going to cement the... Do I think or am I hoping? I'm hoping they're going to cement the Banks heel turn and she's going to turn on Bailey and Banks is going to win. Maybe they even like start to team up throughout the match, and then there's the turn at the end.
If they team up in this match, that would be absolutely ridiculous.
It'll be a reluctant team up, though.
Hmm.
But you can tell that story throughout the match. So I've gone for those two. Who has your lady partner gone for?
My lady partner has also gone for Sasha Banks.
Right.
She likes the boss.
My lady partner has also gone for Sasha Banks. So you are
I'm off
here.
The curve here, me.
So because my lady partner didn't know who a lot of people were, so she would Google them, because she has good hair and I don't know the others.
Well, I do remember when we did the Royal Rumble predictions, my lady partner would never have picked Becky Lynch out of pure jealousy. So I think she'd gone for Sasha Banks based off that reason.
But I did mention that Carmella hasn't been confirmed, but she could... feature.
Oh yeah, I forgot about her.
Yeah,
and, I literally forgot about her.
But maybe they'll keep her off to make it more of a surprise if she does do an attempted cash in.
Mm-hmm.
My lady partner's a big fan of Carmella's music.
Well, who
so
isn't?
She would go for that. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, also on the kickoff show. That's already been confirmed by WWE. I'll go first this time,
well,
I guess.
You have written
I don't care.
You've written some names on here that haven't been confirmed this.
This was more for my lady partners.
You did this in the Royal Rumble. You put CM Punk's name on there, which I took off when I sent across my lady partner, my wife, because I thought that was very unfair to give the Punk option.
Don't rule it out, man.
I'm ruling it out,
man. I think Conor McGregor's winning this one. How about... Who would have thought Conor McGregor would have had the best go-home angle? On WrestleMania week.
Oh, dearie me.
Well, wow.
Ruining a whole UFC card.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, like, way to build up a heel. It's one of the most exciting stories I've ever seen.
Well,
in terms of combat sports or, like, wrestling. Oh, obviously, it's deplorable.
I was going to say, let's not sensationalise this.
But it's, how can you not sensationalise it? A guy... Did he fly over from Ireland to sort of gate crash this?
Well, he basically, like, there was a tweet that Ariel Helwani retweeted this, and it really made me laugh. Was just like, I'm not condoning Conor McGregor's actions, but find yourself a friend that will fly across the world so that he will join you in a fight.
I'd do it for you, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
I mean, we'd have to be going over.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to come over if we were
taking the fall.
But yeah, I think, like, how can you? It's already sensational. It's an incredible pro wrestling storyline. It just so happens to kind of be real.
Well, I was going to say, it'd be interesting to see what charges are brought against him and the severity of those charges. I know that Dana White was Dana White essentially said that he is just not going to do business with him anymore. When someone said, like, are you going to do business with him? He just went, would you?
Yeah.
So he has essentially confirmed that he's done.
The most serious thing for me is the severity of the injuries. I read that someone got glass in their eye.
They certainly did, yeah. Borg got a
horrible
Which is why he's been, he's been pulled off the card. Big shame.
Anyway, I am going... God, I don't
It shows how little we care about the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal when we're actually more interested in talking about the news. I'd rather talk about Keith Lee wrestling at WrestleMania Access.
Are you going to pick Keith Lee?
Love to pick Keith Lee for this. Like, Keith Lee, Matt Riddle won the Evolve Championship. Jerry Lawler had a match with Joey Ryan, or at least he accosted Jerry Ryan. So
Luke likes independent wrestling. Isn't Luke cool?
Oh, look at him. Look, Mr. Cool over here.
I'm going to go for Woken Matt Hardy via Woken Bray Wyatt assist.
I was also going to go for Woken Matt.
Yeah, both of us. Oh, would you look at that.
My wife, because of your erroneous listings, has picked Samoa Joe, which I think is unfair.
So has my lady partner, Samoa Joe, because he's so big looking.
Yeah, I think it might be unfair that we have listed them down because they might not even be in the match. I think Joe's going to return the Raw after Mania. Do you know what my prediction is? The Raw after Mania. Roman Reigns comes out to do the promo he did last year where he doesn't say anything, just stands in the middle of the ring while everyone boos him. And while he's doing that, Joe comes out from the crowd and puts the Kikina clutch in. And
huge
that's his return.
Baby face pop.
Yeah, that's his return.
I like how you think me putting Samoa Joe's name in the possible options is what's stopping our lady partners from having a clean sweep of correct predictions.
They could have at least picked someone who's actually confirmed.
Okay, so Cruiserweight Championship match, the culmination of the tournament for 10 weeks?
Something like that, I
don't know. Yeah. Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali.
Certainly, this should be quite a good match, actually. So we have a 2-hour pre-show here with three matches, two of which are battle royals. This is the only It's the only match that's on the card that's, you know, of anything of any value. And if given time, if this is given 15, 20 minutes, it could be a really great match. And they've got bloody time. What else are they going to do? Just speak to bloody Rosenberg for half an hour about what he thinks about John Cena? We could just have a match with these two.
Social Media Lounge.
Well, Charlie Caruso That's has got something to do, I suppose.
At least going to be 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
Who's going to be Maria Menounos.
Yeah, Maria Menounos. She's got to do some stuff there. You've got Sam Roberts. He's got to do some gubbins around. Maybe Jerry Lawler's going to give his thoughts on a product that he doesn't watch. You know, there's all this stuff that you've got to fit into this two-hour pre-show. I just think you could at least set aside 20 minutes of that to give the Cruiserweight some time and then not put it on the Blu-ray they don't get any royalties. Just give them that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like anyone buys the Blu-ray in 2018.
Well, yeah.
I want to see how big that royalty actually is. But if you're on the pre-show...
It was enough Ross and Aries to leave.
I think that was probably just a straw that broke a camel's back. It's your turn to go first.
I think... Oh, it's tough. Because although I've just been bigging it up, I'd have been more interested if this was someone like Drew Gulak, or it had been Buddy Murphy, or if it had been my hopeful prediction of Rockstar Spud. I think these two are really great. I think there are better people within this tournament. Like Roderick Strong was in this tournament. Like, you know, I think Tezawa would have been a better choice. There's all these other guys I'd have picked above these two. But I'm going to pick Cedric.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Cedric as well.
Yeah.
It's, you cannot fault these guys in ring work.
Oh, God, you cannot.
I love Mustafa Ali's reverse 450 finisher. Cedric Alexander, we talk about him all the time.
So
like,
good.
We did all our fantasy bookings for the Cruiserweights were pushing Cedric Alexander. But that's purely because how good in the ring he is. In terms of character, there's not much to these guys, whereas other performers have a lot more oomph and dimension to them. So, yeah, it's kind of like... WWE have gone for generic babyface. It's kind of like when TJP won the original Cruiserweight tournament. So, and maybe that's the bad side of Triple H booking stuff. He almost values in ring work too much, whereas Vince McMahon is give him a disco ball and a Funkasaurus gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a healthy medium in there
somewhere. My wife also picked Cedric.
My lady partner. Didn't care.
Oh, this was the one she missed.
This was the one she did not. She just said, "Oh, I don't know what that is."
She should have watched that four-way from a couple of weeks ago. We're belting.
Yeah. So next up, the Raw Tag Team Championship match: The Bar versus Braun Strowman and the mystery partner.
So, do we want to have two predictions here? Mm. One of who is going to win and who the mystery partner is?
I think yes.
Yes. I think yes as well. I went first last time, therefore it is your turn.
Okay.
You hate going first, don't you?
Only on ones where I don't know. Because I like you to argue for me. And I'm like, okay, that's a good point. I'll use that. Okay. So, I think Braun is winning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's close. Like, this isn't... I'm not 100% set on that at all. Braun Strowman's initials are BS, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I just wrote that down, kind of. Mystery partner. Who's the mystery partner? I don't want to say Rey Mysterio. I don't want to give Sports Illustrated the credence.
Don't want to give Justin Barrasso anything.
Okay, I'm going to go with Mysterio because it would fit with that WWE WrestleMania surprise thing that will probably become a spot over the next few years based on how well the Hardy stuff went down last year. So, yes, I'm going to go for Mysterio. And if not Mysterio, my backup pick is Kenny Omega.
CM Punk.
Imagine that.
CM Punk return confirmed. I'm also going with Braun, with the partner being James Ellsworth.
Okay, you're sticking with that.
I'm sticking with my Ellsworth prediction. I think that the way, if it were me, if I was booking this, I would have had Braun come out on his own. Commentators going like, well, where's his partner? Who's the partner going to be? He just walks backstage and just drags out the limp body of James Ellsworth, drags him all the way down the WrestleMania
fresh
ramp.
Kill.
And just throws him against the apron and then has the match. And then during the match... The Bar get the heat, and they start beating him down, and it builds to a James Ellsworth hot tag. The crowd amping in anticipation for Ellsworth tag, and he's just there, like just propped up on the apron, holding out an arm to get a tag, and he just goes in, gets destroyed by the Bar because he's James Ellsworth, And then Braun gets the hot tag again, and he wins.
That is superb. I would prefer that to happen. Yeah. I think Mysterio is going to be the one. My lady partner said, went for Braun Strowman and the mystery partner because of some classic wrestling logic. Because it should be someone good if it's a mystery.
Oh, she's not wrong there.
Well, if it's James Ellsworth, though.
That's great. Yeah, it's a great show. Mm. My wife has also picked Braun and the mystery partner.
Next up, one of the most... This is the one I'm most looking forward to. Actually, let's have a look at the card.
I was going to say, there's some matches on here that I think could be ones I'm really looking forward to.
You know what? From an in-ring standpoint, I'm looking forward to the three-way SmackDown Tag Team Championship match over AJ Nakamura.
Well, when they sort of first teased that, I was a bit like, oh, why are you doing the Usos and the New Day at Fastlane? And that's when I suddenly had this epiphany. I was like, oh my god, they're going to do the three-way at WrestleMania. And as soon as I thought, I was like, I had the flashbacks of Revival, DIY, North Japan. I was like, this match could be... I'm so excited for this match. I think this is the first match we talked about on this card that I'm genuinely really looking forward to. I am stoked for this match. I think it's going to be an absolute barn burner. Mm. Hashtag barn burner.
And so who are you going for?
Oh, it's a tough one. It's the Usos' first time on the main roster. I don't think putting the belts on the New Day is really the best thing to do right now. But do you put the belts on the Bludgeon Brothers? I'm going for an Usos retention.
Whoa! I'm going Bludgeon Brothers win.
Yeah. And then
it's like a reign of dominance in the tag division. How can they be usurped, and then the Usos and New Day maybe come together again.
Ooh,
SummerSlam.
Yeah. I like that. That's very good. Yeah, that'd be quite good. I'm really behind that idea. I'm sticking with my Usos retention, despite my love for the Hammer Brothers. I'm sticking with the brothers.
In the spirit of Hammer based objects. Thank you to everyone who got in touch for what we should call the sort of little community that's on Wrestle Talk's Patreon, because it's very nice there and everyone talks to each other, it seems, as Luke informed me.
Yes.
I might dip in and have a chat.
You should have, they're lovely people.
Yeah. But we don't have a name for them. You know, everything else is like Swaft Nation or the Pod Swafters for the podcast fans, After Swafters for people who watch this show on YouTube but then listen to the podcast bits on audio form. Pledgehammers. Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes, yeah, I love that. I can't remember, again, playing on an old gimmick here. Can't remember who said it, but I thought it was a great suggestion.
Should have written that down.
Yeah, we should have
done. Got a hell of a lot of upvotes.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I really should just do it better in terms of writing down. Like, when you see something on Reddit, just jot down who said it.
I don't know when. I read so many things on Reddit, the clue's in a name. I can't write down everything I read and when I want to steal their opinions later on.
It's too much.
The whole show would just be footnotes.
Could be.
We do. Okay. Lady partner predictions.
My wife has gone for the New Day.
Really? Yes. My lady partner also has the New Day because they have fun, colourful outfits and the best name.
The New Day?
Yep.
Well, I mean...
apparently it's a good name.
No, Bludgeon Brothers is the best name out of those three.
I think that's the best name for a stinky boy. Whereas a beautiful smelling girl likes the idea of a New Day. Yeah. Oh, and look how colourful their outfits are.
Very true.
I even said to her, you know, they wear unicorn horns sometimes down to the ring. And she went, do they? Like, that was the most interested she's ever been in wrestling outside of Glorious.
That is what
Bobby Roode's theme tune.
That is what Vince McMahon always wanted.
Yeah. But yeah, I really am actually in-ring wise looking forward to that match the most. I think that's going to have the most drama.
It's just as long as they're given time. We do have to remember this is a... Well, it's a 13-match confirmed card, could be a 14-match card. But even if we're just sticking with a 13-match card, that's a lot of wrestling, even to fit within a 7-hour show. Mm. So this really could be an absolute show-stealing match, a weekend-stealing match, if it's given time. Because if it only gets 7 minutes, then it's not really going to be the great in-ring match we want it to be. But if it's given that 15-20 minutes that it needs, it could be an absolute incredible match.
If it's a Bludgeon Brothers squash match, although that's kind of cool, I don't think now's the time to do that because you just kind of did that up Fastlane. But yes, United States Championship match.
Speaking of matches you don't care about.
I didn't care about it until Rusev, rumoured to have asked for his release, or merchandise sales, whatever reason you want to put for it. You showed me the WrestleMania program earlier.
Yeah, I saw someone share it on Twitter. It was Matthew of Botchamania retweeted it, so I can't remember who originally shared the image. But it was from the WrestleMania program, and you can tell how late in the day the decision was made for Rusev to be added into this match, because in the program, it's just his head. So you got like the head and body of Bobby Roode, the head and body of Randy Orton, and the head and body of Jinder. And then in the background, you just have Rusev's head on top of like a shaded out, almost like vacant.
It's vacant.
It's
body.
Vacant silhouette, yeah. With Rusev's face just superimposed onto it. So yeah, very much a last minute thing.
Kind of in a Bohemian Rhapsody configuration.
Yeah, it does look a little bit like that. He's like, I see a little silhouette, yes. Of a man. Yeah, very much that way.
Maybe that's the new Rusev Day song they can parody.
Oh, Aiden English would be fantastic at that.
Rusev
as well.
Rhapsody.
Yeah,
Bohemian Rusev. So yes, it's Randy Orton defending his United States title against Bobby Roode, Jinder Mahal, and Rusev.
I got to go first, so it's your turn to go.
So, this is a tough one because my heart is screaming Rusev, singing Rusev Day, but my head is like, no, the company are behind. Look, these are like three. Such company guys. Randy Orton has been the company guy forever. Jinder Mahal was the company guy last year when they were trying to spearhead their expansion into India. And Bobby Roode was like the company guy in NXT, one of Triple H's chosen clones. As much as I love Bobby Roode, I was only being facetious there. I'm going to go Rusev. I'm going to trust
Oh, you're going with Rusev.
Trust in my heart.
I am going for Bubbles via heel turn.
Ooh, that works.
I think Roode is recapturing it. I'm thinking maybe even like a punt to the knob of Randy Orton into a glorious DDT.
Oh, okay.
And that's how he's going to win the belt. I think he's going to get like a proper low blow, solidify this heel turn for Bobby Roode, and then we can kind of set off on a much better year for him. Fingers crossed.
You've given me an image of what I now want. Bobby Roode's finisher to be the glorious punt, where they're just someone's lying down on their back, but their legs are sort of spread eagled, and Bobby Roode can set up like Randy Orton used to for that punt.
Yep.
Just punt, kick him in the dick.
Just kick him in the dick,
kick
mate.
Kick him straight in the dick.
A friend of mine, actually, my best man at my wedding, his wife always used to say, we once took her to a local wrestling show, and her argument she's always had with wrestling is just like, why don't wrestlers just kick each other in the head? Because surely that's the quickest way to take someone down. So any move that involves like someone being kicked really hard, preferably in the head, or in that case, in the groin, that would be what we would call a Nikki-approved move.
Right. I mean, it's an illegal move.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got to do it. Well, Goldust did it for years with Shattered Dreams.
So my lady partner has also gone for Bobby Roode.
Well,
she did not talk about heel turns, but the reason is... for the music.
Well, my wife has picked Rusev. Whoa!
Yes. I mean, this is heel turns of our own respective partners there. Next up is the Raw's version of the mid-card feud. Another multi-person match.
Gotta get everyone on the card, brother.
Jeez. Wow. I mean, I'm a bit exhausted now by multi-person matches.
Well, we did get an email about that last week, didn't we? It was like, are WWE doing too many multi-person matches? And... yeah, I mean, going by this card.
Yeah. So The Miz is defending his Intercontinental title against Seth Rollins and Finn Balor.
Finn Bluer. My turn to go first. I'm going, for the Architect. I think that Seth Rollins is capturing the IC gold, and then him and, Balor can feud over it while Miz has his paternity leave.
Do you think Miz is going away?
Yeah, I could see Miz going away for a while, and then when he comes back, it's about him trying to recapture the IC belt so he can become the longest reigning IC champ.
That
so,
sounds like a babyface storyline.
Well,
it feels like they're trying to turn him babyface. I think that's a real bad
idea. Oh, that's a terrible idea. It's a dreadful idea. Remember the last time that Miz was a babyface? You and I caught a little glimpse of it when we watched an old pay-per-view for the Patreon exclusive podcast.
Was it Money in the Bank 2011 when Miz was on the pre-show? And it was when, like, Ric Flair had endorsed him and given him the figure four.
Yes.
And we were like, this is dreadful. Why are we... No, no one's cheering for the Miz. No one's cheering for babyface Miz.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't... Because it could go several ways here. It
could go three ways, technically.
Yes. I'm going to go... I'm going to go Miz. I'm going to go Miz.
You go Miz retention.
Yes.
Interesting.
I think they... Because he's got the... Hasn't his... His new show is coming to a climax soon. He's had the kid. They won Mixed Match Challenge. Apparently, they were super baby facing it up there as well with all the dog charity stuff. Sorry to bring up dogs in front of you. So, yeah, I'm going to go Miz retention.
Interesting.
And my lady partner has gone for Finn Balor because of the makeup.
But do we know if we're getting the makeup? Because they haven't announced it being the demon.
Yes.
So they've just announced it as Finn Blur. So it could likely just be Balor coming out with all of his lovely abs and his jacket.
Is that why what your lady partner's gone for?
No,
Finn Balor because of the abs.
I'm surprised she didn't pick Finn Balor because she finds him very attractive. But she's actually gone with Seth Rollins.
Hmm. Who's also very attractive.
Yeah, he's also got wonderful abs.
I'm hard for him.
You are.
Alexa Bliss. That came out really crude saying that.
The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This podcast is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you'll get access to the Wrestle Ramble Extra, a monthly podcast where Ollie and I review shows from wrestling's past. If you pledge now, you'll get our back catalogue of episodes, including Money in the Bank 2011, Armageddon 2000, Wrestle Kingdom 10, and No Way Out 2004, and many others, as well as this month's episode, which will be WrestleMania 25. And $10 plus backers will become part of the Ramble Club, our new show where we talk about wrestling from around the world, including reviews of the Golden Lovers versus Cody and Marty Scurll, Austin Aries versus Eli Drake, and many, many more. All that and so much extra, so head over to patreon.com/wrestletalk for more information.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Alexa Bliss defending her title against Nia Jax on the Raw women's side.
Yep. Your turn to go first.
Obviously Nia Jax. It's my gal Nia Jax.
Gotta go Jax.
And like, you can't really tell this storyline with Alexa Bliss bullying Nia Jax in the way that she has without ending with Jax getting her revenge in the feel-good moment at the biggest show of the year. So definitely Jax. If they do it any other way, I think that's a mistake. And I also think, I don't think Carmella should cash in here either. If she does cash in, maybe the next night.
I was going to say the same thing. I'm going also for a Jax win. I don't know. I wonder if they are going to do the Carmella cash in, because they keep talking about, well, Michael Cole always keeps talking about the Seth Rollins cash in at Mania 31, and about how it's like this great WrestleMania moment. I think they've really built this idea up that cashing in at WrestleMania is like this really big, momentous thing, because it really was. I mean, I'll never forget Rollins cashing in and the excitement that came with that. So I wonder whether, because it's the first Women's Money in the Bank, that they'll do it here as well. I don't know. I think it'll either be on WrestleMania, or they'll do it the night after against Jax. But I do think Jax is winning here.
And your lady partner?
Has also gone with Nia Jax.
As has mine, because of the T-shirt song and tweeting you.
It's up there.
She's ridden. Yes, it is.
Well, that T-shirt that I got you for Christmas.
Thank you, man.
You're welcome.
SmackDown Women's Championship now. Charlotte Flair defending against Asuka.
So the rumour being that Asuka is not only going to win here, she's going to retain through to WrestleMania 35, where she'll then have a match against Ronda Rousey for the SmackDown Live Women's Championship, which some sites have even said could be the main event of the show, the actual main event, the last match on the card. So I'm going for Asuka here. I think it's the only result that makes sense.
Exactly. Same here, Asuka. There's not much more to say on that.
No, I think taking away the undefeated streak at this point would be absolutely ridiculous.
But so WWE.
So WWE would have been to do it on SmackDown.
Yes, or Fastlane.
Or at Mixed Match Challenge.
So my lady partner is one of the ones who hasn't gone for Asuka, though.
Wow.
Because she told me last night, streak's got to end sometime. Sounds boring.
Well, going by YouTube comments, but we get a lot of comments in here that are bored by Asuka's streak.
She compared, because she doesn't like Superman. And I'm always trying to say, look, he is a good character. I get the criticism that he is invulnerable and that takes away a lot of the dramatic impact. But when he's done right, it's good. But she says, it sounds like Superman to me. But why would you want a streak? Like, I know she's not going to lose. I'm like, no, but you like the streak, so you don't want her to lose. There's always something on the line that makes it. Anyway, Charlotte Flair, because of her flips and gymnastic ability.
Wow, yes. That's a hell of a reason to pick her.
Because she once saw a match where Charlotte did the moonsault off the turnbuckle to the outside, the twisting one. I can't remember. Was that WrestleMania?
It was WrestleMania a couple of years ago, yeah.
And she likes the makeup that Charlotte has, the sparkly things on her face.
Does she still do the sparkly things?
I haven't seen it for a while. Oh, who's going to wear a Wonder Woman outfit? That's the other's prediction. Mickey James, Sasha Banks. I think it's Charlotte's turn.
No, well, you said to me when we did the WrestleMania 25 Patreon podcast that apparently Charlotte's getting like a big Triple H-esque entrance this year.
Yeah, that's what I think she said that in an interview. Yeah, I forgot about that.
She's getting a massive entrance. I think this match, of all the women's matches on the card, this one that's going to be given the most time.
Yes, I agree. Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon
versus
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
A feud I was really starting to go down on because it wasn't going anywhere.
You went down on a
feud. a couple of times. And then they've just turned it around in this last couple of weeks because D-Bry is medically cleared and he's wrestling again. And boy, howdy am I excited to see him again.
It's like, Daniel Bryan medically cleared. Yay! Shane McMahon also medically cleared. Oh, are you sure? So yes, that's happening. It's tremendously exciting. And one that really is the catalyst for me going, WrestleMania, I'm looking forward to it. I cannot wait. I'm in WrestleMania fever mode. I don't even think I will get WrestleMania fatigue this year.
Wow.
Honestly, I'm so excited about WrestleMania and the surrounding celebrations and other shows. Ring of Honor Supercard, which I'm going to try and watch bits of on Sunday. NXT. And, you know, the Raw and SmackDown and Mania itself. And it is really down to Bryan. He's the pivot point there.
It's funny as well because you and I even had this conversation when Bryan was medically clear. Like, we just came into work that day, beaming smiles. Yes. We were in just such a good mood. And it was on that day that I was just like, do you know what? Like, now I'm looking at the rest of the card and all of a sudden I feel excited about more of the matches. And it was just the inclusion of Daniel Bryan. There was stuff that I previously was excited about, but just didn't realise I was excited by it.
Yes.
Then I found out that Daniel Bryan was wrestling, and I'm like, oh, actually, I am looking forward to Ronda Rousey Day. I am looking forward to Charlotte Asuka. I am looking forward to that SmackDown tag team match. Oh, God, there's loads on this show I'm really excited for.
Yeah, Bryan...
brings out the best in us.
It's sort of like just yes-chanted away our cynicism, our jaded perspective on wrestling sometimes. So, I am going first. Of course, the stipulation is if Owens and Zayn lose, they remain fired. So there's two ways this can go. Mm. Owens and Zayn...
like many matches.
Yes.
But there's only... I just wanted to point that out because when you said the three ways, there's only several ways this could go. Actually, there's only three ways this can go.
I mean, it could be a disqualification. Maybe I'm not just talking about the result. Maybe I'm talking about story elements that happen in the action. So,
sorry.
There are two ways that I see this going. Owens and Zayn lose and are thus fired from SmackDown, remain fired, and then they turn up on Raw on Monday night. That is a serious contender, and one that maybe I'm going to go for. The other one is that Shane McMahon turns heel on Daniel Bryan, giving him a much-needed rejuvenation in character. Hopefully, maybe he can pull it off. I mean, he was effectively a heel a couple of weeks ago, and he sides with Owens and Zayn, which makes no sense looking at the larger story back to the Zayn heel turn. It really would just be a turn for shock's sake with no real justification in character or storyline for it, which is why I think that WWE are going to do it. And it creates a Shane McMahon-Daniel Bryan feud that they can run on SmackDown. WWE love McMahon authority figure storylines. So I'm going to go Owens and Zayn win because of a McMahon heel turn. God damn.
I'm actually going to say the exact same thing. I've seen a lot of people this week saying that they think that Daniel Bryan is the one that's going to be turning heel. But
it'd be
the dumbest thing that company... And this company has done some dumb things in its time. Like, let's not try to sugarcoat that. This company has done some dumb things in its time. Brock Lesnar losing his first match back after coming back from UFC. Being one of them. Just one of them. Turning Daniel Bryan at this point, just after he's medically cleared, would be the dumbest thing this company has ever done.
If there's a heel turn at all.
If there's a heel turn at all. But Daniel Bryan in particular would be the dumbest option in that. But I think that Owens and Zayn will win. I think we will get a Shane McMahon heel turn, leading to a Shane Bryan match at SummerSlam. Mm. That's where I think we're going. And then you can have like Bryan as just being like the bullied underdog on SmackDown Live, not giving in the opportunities. It's the land of opportunity, but not for you, Daniel Bryan. Just the land of opportunity for Owens and Zayn.
So my lady partner has also gone for Owens and Zayn. Mm-hmm. You'll like this because his name is like Luke's.
It is.
It's exactly like Luke's.
I was going to say, some of the people on YouTube seem to think that it is my name.
And I think Shane is the one you take the piss out of on your videos. She's referring to Wrestle Sketch and the high-pitched voice that she likes. What about your lady partner?
You nearly said her name.
I nearly did, yeah.
She has gone for D. Bryan Shane, so she's gone for a baby face victory.
Ronda Rousey and Kurt, yet another kind of multi-person match. The last one, though, tag match. Mm-hmm. Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle versus Stephanie McMahon and Triple H.
Yeah, this is... Triple H has got a lot of work on his hands in this match. He has got to carry three other people to...
Kurt can still go. Well, I don't know where you're basing this off of. Survivor Series, he wasn't amazing. But before then, he was having a lot of good matches.
I think Kurt is... he is still very good. He is not the Kurt Angle of old, is more the point I'm making. But Triple H is still the Triple H of old. He still goes at the same level he did nearly 20 years ago. And so I think that Triple H is going to be the person who can carry this match into being really good. The thing about this, though... The real conversation we had about this is the length of time that it gets. Because we've got to remember this is a Triple H match at WrestleMania. And if there's one thing that Triple H loves at WrestleMania, it's a 25-minute 30 match when it doesn't need to be. And this match needs to have like the Cena, Nikki Bella, Miz and Maurice time length that it had last year, where it's like you just get your 10, 12 minutes and you do your bit and you get out of there. That's what this needs. It doesn't need to go half hour, but I have a bit of a worry it will.
what, even though it's a tag match rather than a self-indulgent singles match.
Are you trying to say the Triple H can't even see a tag match not being self-indulgent?
Yes, well, yes, considering the Stephanie's, I agree with you. But I will defend Kurt Angle. I think he's gonna be very, very good. And we're all going to go, oh, yeah, that's the Kurt Angle. Because that's it's WrestleMania.
That's what I'm hoping, man. That's what I'm hoping.
So, did I go? Yeah, you go first this time.
I'm going for a Rousey Kurt Angle. I think Rousey is going to tap out Stephanie to win the match. That's the only logical conclusion to this, really.
Yes, same. Ronda Rousey's first match. They've spent so much money on her. She's going to spearhead this women's division. So definitely.
I think
Ronda
she'll...
she'll even remain undefeated.
I was about to say the exact same thing. I think she'll be undefeated until Mania next year.
And then you have Streak versus Streak with title on the line. Wowzers. Which works even better, I suppose, if Asuka does move over to SmackDown. Which presumably she must, right? WWE Championship match. AJ Styles defending against Shinsuke Nakamura. I didn't do the lady partner ones. So my lady partner said Stephanie McMahon and Triple H, because Triple H looks more muscly.
My wife has gone for Rousey and Angle.
Cool.
Team Olympic.
So AJ Styles and Nakamura.
So I got a lot of messages about this yesterday. WWE put up a video on the network. It's called like Chronicle Shinsuke Nakamura. It's this little half-hour mini documentary that kind of tells Nakamura's journey from Mania, from Royal Rumble up until this point here, just before we go to WrestleMania. In that half hour, it has done more to get me excited about this match than the 4 weeks of build than they've had on SmackDown. So that's what, eight? No, my math is terrible. 16 hours worth? Four times. No, hang on.
Eight.
Four times two. It is eight, isn't it? So math wasn't my strong suit. I'm not very good at maths. 8 hours.
There's maths, though. And then there's four times eight.
Yeah, even then, man, I'm really bad at it. I can't, like, numbers just don't make sense to me. They've done more in this half hour than they have in the 8 hours they've had of TV time to build this match. It's a really great documentary. And while I was watching it, A, I thought this is Triple H produced. And the second thought I had was just like, man, if Triple H was in charge, they would have cut this up into segments and put this on SmackDown. They cut little chunks out of this, similar to the Roderick Strong stuff they did on NXT, and they recently did with TM61 on NXT as well, like when they did their big return. It's great. I highly recommend everyone go and check it out. It's so good, and it just gives Nakamura, like, it gives him something. Like, it's at the moment, he's just like, he's Shinsuke Nakamura. He's the artist across the screen. He's the rock star across the screen. This makes him feel like a genuine, real person. If anything, though, the one thing it does do, it exposes the business in that Nakamura has got a really good grasp of the English language, but he doesn't do that on TV because that's technically not his character.
No way.
But he actually speaks English really, really well. But they don't want to put that up on TV, I guess. Because that's not the character he wants to play. He wants to play this more wacky character that only says certain things in very weird cadences. But it's really, really great. And it's actually told mostly in kayfabe.
I'm going to go for Nakamura.
Oh, right, yeah, sorry.
A long way of saying that. And you?
I'm also going to Nakamura.
I mean, he has to, doesn't he?
I think at this point, yeah.
He was under... Imagine how much better this build would have been if Nakamura didn't lose to Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam last year.
And TLC?
Yeah. Nice one, Jinder. You're still ruining matches.
It wasn't TLC, was it? It was...
Because that was a Raw show.
It was a Raw show. It was one of those shows. He lost at another one.
Hell in a Cell? That was the next one, wasn't it?
Yes, I think it was Hell in a Cell.
Undertaker versus John Cena.
Ooh. In big quotation marks here.
I've worked myself into a shoot, brother.
Have you really?
I'll let you do your one first.
Well, if this match is happening... I've got a video going up about this tomorrow here on Wrestle Talk about how I think this match and build has been absolute genius. It's just the sort of big 5 minutes of me gushing about the how much I love the build they've done for this match and how excited they have made me for a match that isn't even confirmed on a WrestleMania card. If this match is happening, it's got to be Taker. I think Taker is winning.
Okay. Why? Because last swan song?
Yeah, I guess so. Also, I don't think it's going to be... it's not going to be the Dead Man Undertaker. Also, I don't think it's going to be American Badass Undertaker. I think it's just going to be Mark Calloway. It's just going to be a real life... But if it's... if it is like, if they're not just going to do the confrontation, I could definitely see him coming out as just like, as Mark Calloway. I'm not here to do character. I'm not here to be the Undertaker. I'm not the Dead Man. I'm not the American Badass. But I'm a man, and you took things too far when you said those things about me, boy. And I'm going to teach you some respect. No, go old school. Take you down my yard and do all that sort of Undertaker stuff that he does.
I'm going to say N.A.
So you think it's not going to happen at all?
Yes.
Is this your cheating prediction?
Nope. It's me. Look, it's a lot more realistic for me to say Taker or Cena. I'm going to go a third way, because sometimes singles matches can have three possible outcomes. I have been so adamant that this match is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, for quite a long time, because that's what Dave Meltzer said, and Dave Meltzer is very reliable, contrary to what a lot of people say. And it wasn't just Meltzer, it was other places as well. Undertaker was in training, you could see that with Michelle McCool's posts and stuff. John Cena has been building up the match for ages on Raw television, but they've never confirmed it. So they do have an out. Of course, everyone expects it to happen, and that is why I think it's Undertaker's going to show up. Maybe John Cena finally gets in the ring late in the show, not main event level, but just before, and he, you know, does one last call out of Taker. Lights go down, comes up, he's there. They shoot like a physical angle, so you do get a bit of physicality, but then they somehow set up a match for WrestleMania 35.
Mm-hmm.
And that replicates that Rock John Cena WrestleMania 27 into 28 model. Still the highest grossing pay-per-view ever. Of course, that isn't really the era now. We're in network buys. But you can have a year-long build for that match. And I just feel like 35, that feels like a more momentous number. Weirdly, anything divisible by 5 feels better, doesn't it, than 34? So you've got like WrestleMania 20, 25, 30, 35. That's...
Will they call it the 35th anniversary of WrestleMania?
Well, maybe at the 50th or the 40th, but not at 35. So I think it's just going to be an angle. And this comes from... I didn't really think this until Mike Johnson of PW Insider said this on Tuesday, I believe, where he said, look, I've only heard he's scheduled to appear. I haven't heard he's scheduled to wrestle. And that was... at first, I was outraged. How dare they? This has got to be a match. But the more I thought about it, I actually think this is the better idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot believe I'm saying that. I've worked myself into a shoot, brother.
I'm in agreement with you. I think that it's... to build it up until next year would be better than just giving it to us here.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is happening here, I think Undertaker is winning. But my preferred option would be that confrontation, and you build up to a Mania match next year.
My lady partner agrees with me completely separately. I haven't told her this. She says John Cena as maybe the Undertaker won't show up, and he's not really coming out of retirement.
Well,
I mean, she says Taker's not showing up at all, which is that's next level trolling on WWE part.
My wife has picked the Undertaker,
right,
if the match happens.
So Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns,
here's a real main event. Ooh, for you,
and you know, unpredictable as the main event. Well, it must be the main event.
I think it will be the main event.
Yeah. I mean, Roman Reigns.
What else would be the main event if it's not this match?
Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey match?
No.
The John Cena Taker.
Unless the Rousey match is going half an hour.
or Cena Taker.
Yeah, possibly. But it's, of all the matches on this card, this is the one that I can definitely see being the most main event level match. It's interesting that neither of us said AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura there, but I think that's going to get the Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt spots from last year, where it's just sort of like, I was like third or fourth from top, I think. What's that? You know, third from top, maybe?
So are we both going Roman Reigns?
Yeah, I think Reigns is winning it. Yeah, that's undeniable, that, mate.
The only real intrigue, really, it'll be a well-worked match, but I don't think it's going to be dramatically engaging.
I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, actually, no, you are right. It isn't going to be dramatically engaging. However, like, I keep going back to this. Their Mania 31 match was great. Like, it was really, really good.
But, yeah, good in-ring, but, like, if I'm not invested in the characters, there's only so much I can enjoy the match. And especially when the audience is, going against the grain of what the match is saying as well.
But it's interesting you say that, though, because throughout this whole year, when we've been predicting Brock Lesnar matches, you've always been saying, like, oh, I'm really looking forward to this because I really like a Brock Lesnar match.
Yes.
And, you know, Brock Lesnar was in your top 10 of the year, I believe he was. Yeah, so you're invested in Brock, right?
I am invested in Brock in the right opponent. Like, I was not invested in Brock versus Kane versus Strowman,
nope.
But I was super invested in Lesnar versus Styles. The SummerSlam match, the SummerSlam
four-way, Samoa Joe. But even though you knew that Lesnar was always winning those.
So the SummerSlam one had doubt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there was... That was around the time where Lesnar had supposedly re-entered himself into the USADA drug testing pool. There was a lot of speculation he might lose. Likewise, before the Samoa Joe match, a few people were like, yeah, Joe actually might win this.
Oh, no, I always knew Lesnar.
But yeah, I know, but at least there was a little bit of doubt. This is... plus, you know, as great as Roman Reigns is in ring, I don't like him. I don't like the character that he plays. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way he's booked. So it's like the popular opinion, the mainstream opinion is Roman Reigns isn't working. Then there's a contrarian opinion is, yeah, but he's such a great wrestler. And we sort of saw it in the WrestleTalk 100 where Roman Reigns featured quite highly in a lot of people's top 20s. I cannot comprehend that because he's not even in the top. He's a very good wrestler, but there's no way he's in the top 20 wrestlers in the world
mm-hmm.
because the quality is so high. The only way I can see that happening is because people have fallen into this contrarian mindset. And I was there for a bit because after a while you get sick of ragging on Roman Reigns for so long. You start to go to the other way. Thinking, maybe he's not so bad. He does put on good matches, yada, yada, yada. But the build for this show, I've gone the other way. I'm just like, you know what? That, or maybe like a middle ground bit. I really appreciate his in-ring work. The poor guy has been given this thankless task of Vince McMahon's pet project that the majority or at least a vocal portion are not accepting. And it's not working for me. And it's just like the latest part of something not working. I'm sick of it, to be honest. I'm not invested in this match.
I am in that pool where I'm just like, Roman Reigns is a really... I wouldn't have put him in the top 20, I don't think. But I think that he is an incredible in-ring talent. I think that he puts on really, really great matches. I think he's consistently put on really great matches, particularly on pay-per-view and on TV. I think that can't be denied. But like you... WWE sort of shot themselves in the foot by giving him a crap character. A crap character that people do sometimes get behind. I think they really had a chance to make this work this time. When they started doing like the Brock not showing up, and then they started doing it with Vince McMahon, I think they had a really good shot of making Roman Reigns work in this main event. But then Lesnar just came back, and then all that McMahon stuff was dropped, and then it was just, now it's a different feud, and... Now it doesn't... I'm less interested in it now than I was when they first did that why isn't Brock here, when Brock was no showing events, or when he showed up and just did that like 15 second match against Kane. That was a much more interesting Brock Lesnar. It was a much more interesting Roman Reigns. Now it just feels like any other Roman Reigns feud, and I'm less interested in that. But I do think this is going to be a really, really good match.
Fair enough. I disagree. Well, you know, it will be a good match, like I said, but I won't be invested in it. Anna has also...
what I just said.
Anna has... But, like, my argument is that a good match, then?
No, but I think there is an argument to be made that there is it is a really good match, but it's a match that I don't care about. You know, that I think that exists. It does exist.
Yeah, but I just think the wording's off. Like, it's a very well-worked in-ring match, but the match as a whole, I factor in, you know, commentary or... The crowd reactions and the story going into it. And from all that, especially if Michael Cole's commentating...
But that would take something from a really great match into an incredible match.
I think it can work the other way too.
You think so? It can go from a really great match into a quite pants match?
Yes, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So my lady partner, I don't think
you're wrong, by the way,
has gone for Roman Reigns.
My wife has picked Brock Lesnar.
Oh, really?
Yes. Bearing in mind that the last time my wife did this was when it was Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker. And who was laughing then?
My lady partner didn't, like, she'd heard Brock Lesnar a lot because I talk about him a lot at home because he's quite a big news story a lot of the time. Not to the extent where he throws stuff at buses,
yeah.
But still a pretty big news story.
He was a fan.
And... she didn't know what he looked like. So she Googled both men. She was appalled at what Brock Lesnar looked like.
Really?
She was like, I did not expect him to look like that. He looks so nasty. He you know, he just looks horrible. It's like, yeah, that's yeah. why he's awesome. Yeah, yeah. He's just I was like, in my head, you know, when you have like conversations in your head, and then you like, do not say that, Ollie. I was like, you should see his wife. And I was like, why did you even think that, Ollie? And it was just so I could look at Sable.
Oh,
I
mate.
Think. So luckily I didn't say that out loud. And we're 51 minutes into the podcast, so she won't know that I thought that in my head.
So go on then, tell us all about your trip to a Wes Anderson experience yesterday.
That's the sort of guy I am. Do you not want to speak? I felt like we got a bit tense at the end.
That's because we were like, do you know what? Do you want me my prediction for YouTube comments?
Everyone loves me.
Yes. I mean, aside from that, to be honest, that's like Roman Reigns winning the main event of WrestleMania 34. It's a foregone conclusion.
No, there's a contingent of super Lukes.
Well, yeah, there are, but there are going to be those people that when Ollie is talking about those contrarians that just like Roman Reigns, they're talking about me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was. Yeah. And everyone else who does it, yeah.
Yeah. So there are going to be people that are going to try and pick up on that. And that's going to give their fuel to their conspiracy theories that secretly you don't actually like me.
Because
there are those people, they do exist, that just think that you and I aren't actually friends.
I like it when people, like, they really think about it and go, man, I'm telling you, they don't like each other. Like, just look at the way they, you know, these. And they give examples. And, wow, you really thought about something that really doesn't matter.
So I'm saying,
good on them.
I think that will fuel their fire.
Mm.
I really do.
Well, that's the when you fly your flag for Roman, you run.
I'm barely flying the flag for Roman though. I just think he's a really good in-ring worker.
Look, you know what you need to do?
Just hate Roman?
No, just agree with me.
Everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't know what. Yeah, so the Wes Anderson thing was very good. Yeah. It was the Grand Budapest Hotel,
which I mean,
when was the last Wes Anderson film you watched?
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Divisive, because, you know, you've got an American voicing Fantastic Mr. Fox. But I love it. You could, and you didn't like Life Aquatic or Royal Tenenbaums?
I think they're just fine. Like, they're all perfectly fine three-star films. Apart from Rushmore, which is ungodly boring.
Mm.
They're just... just so fine. Like, they are... what's a really bland ice cream flavour?
Vanilla?
Yeah, okay. They are... I didn't want to go with the obvious.
Yes.
They are vanilla ice cream. Delicious, but not... but there's so much more you could have. Like, there's so much more interesting things you can actually have.
Mm. I mean, you know, he is one of the most distinct visual styles in film
for making vanilla flavored movies. Yeah, I know
that's but it's not but it can't be vanilla though if it's completely unique to him.
But he's uniquely making vanilla flavored movies.
Well, I
he has got okay so everyone always says that Marvel have got an amazing four-star machine. Like, they have just got this machine that just goes chugga 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 chugga, and it just pumps out a four-star movie. Wes Anderson's got the exact same thing. He just pumps out three-star films.
Mm.
Like, every time, consistently, apart from Rushmore, which is ungodly boring, and Fantastic Mr. Fox, which is really bad. It's just like, I'm just pumping out these three-star films.
I happen to love the guy.
I know.
But
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I'd be interested to see, because I think Grand Budapest Hotel is so fun, and it's the most romantic of all these films. And I know you're a romantic at heart. And Ralph Fiennes is great. Everyone seems to be having fun. Bill Murray's awesome in his little cameo bit. Well, he doesn't do much. He's just Bill Murray. But they served, because one of the bits about the film is that it's all around Mendel's cakes. That's how they smuggle weapons, not weapons, but digging tools into a prison. And they brought round these little extravagantly made three-tier shoe pastry chocolate buttercream pipes.
Mm.
I can say this stuff because now I watch Bake Off. little cakes, which were amazing.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, cool. And I know some people were worried, because I said yesterday that MasterChef wasn't on, that I might have missed it. It's okay. We found out that it was on.
Oh,
so far.
Thank God.
And it's on again tonight. Just, you reminded me then when you mentioned Bake Off. Because we were going to watch Bake Off, and then MasterChef was on, and then that was it. Then we discovered a brand new show that we're really getting into called You're the Worst. It's on Comedy Central. It's I think it's been around for a couple of years now, because I think they're on their third season in the States, but we're only just getting the first season here.
and it's just basically two people who are just the worst kind of people, but find each other and sort of like just find this sort of happiness between each other, but they don't really understand what this happiness is because they're so used to just hating everything. And it's kind of them just trying to understand what being in a relationship is all about.
So it's a fiction?
Yes.
Oh, because when you were talking, I thought, what a horrible reality TV concept. You just, but I suppose that would work. You just match up horrible people.
Yeah.
Like a blind date thing.
Yeah, like a really awful first date. But it's very funny. I chuckle throughout. We end up watching two episodes.
I'm worried about Lost in Space next week.
Oh, the Netflix show. Are you watching, are you?
Well, I was brought up on Lost in Space. My mum adored that show as a kid. And through that, I was sort of made to watch it on her VHSs as a kid, and I loved it. And then on Sci-Fi, used to do reruns around cup of tea time when we got home from school. So I would watch, you know, like two episodes a day of 60s psychedelica, Agent Smith, not Agent Smith, Dr. Smith camping it up. And then I even liked the Matt LeBlanc.
That was going to be my next question. What did you think of the film?
Well, I was too young to be critically aware, and I really enjoyed it, and I had all the toys. And I found out about this last week because the frickin' billboards are everywhere.
Yeah.
I watched the trailer for the first time today. Why?
Yeah.
It just makes me think, like, why? You just so you can say Danger Will Robinson, have the character of Dr. Smith, and use the Lost in Space name. Those seem to be the only similarities. So why not just make something new?
Because Lost in Space is an IP. And that's all it is. It's a recognisable name that you can make something off the back of.
I know.
Which isn't... I'm not saying that as a really good defence of why you should do that. I'm all for just making up a show. But, you know, that show might not get the promotional material that this Lost in Space reboot has. Not everything is Stranger Things. Netflix don't love everything like they love Stranger Things or Master of None.
Boy, they love Stranger Things.
Don't they just? They chuff and love it. I did see someone yesterday, though. Actually, you and I know him. It's Angus. Who's a writer for a website that you and I used to work for. He posted up this thing that kind of like boggled my mind a little bit, which is like, he was sort of complaining why people were really praising Ready Player One and Stranger Things that are just kind of like riffing on this 80s nostalgia. Because his general argument was like, anyone can have come up with these ideas, so it's not really that impressive. And my friend was like, well, anyone could come up with any idea. Like, that's not an argument for anything. Like, yeah, George Lucas came up with Star Wars. I mean, anyone could have come up with that.
Eventually,
someone would have come up with it.
Do you ever think, because I suppose there's this big 80s nostalgia wave at the moment because all the people who grew up in the 80s are now like commissioning TV shows. They're adults now, or making movies. They want to emulate the ones they loved as children. So in 30 years' time, is everyone going to be making nostalgic movies about the teens?
Oh yeah, I suppose they
well,
will
in,
be.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
In 10 years' time, it will be about the 90s.
Yeah,
and you'll just like be this. Well, forever thing looking backwards.
The 30-year cycle is a thing. Like, in the 80s, everyone was making stuff about the 50s.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, now we're in...
Back to the Future.
Yeah, exactly. So now we're here we are. Like, Stranger Things, Ready Player One. It's all this sort of, like, 80s nostalgia. And we actually had 80s nostalgia in the last decade as well. So I was surprised we haven't sort of moved on more towards the 90s, even though the 90s is making quite a bit of a resurgence. But I think in the next decade, we're really going to see a lot of 90s stuff. But your interesting comment about, like, What are people going to be nostalgic for in the 2000s? Pants CGI? CGI that doesn't hold up. Like,
yes.
That's what we're going to be looking out
There'll
for.
There'll be a lot of comedy films with using that as a joke. Like how we mock the voiceover guy from the 50s or whatever, yeah. But yes, that is a massive digress. We've actually ran quite long.
It's a long show as it already is.
Let's do some quick iTunes reviews.
Oh, go on then.
From Love Ziggy, best podcast on God's green earth. This is the podcast equivalent of Omega versus Okada 2.
Steady.
Keep it up, guys. Thank you, Love Ziggy.
Thank you.
And K Brindley 80, he's probably nostalgic for the 80s, writes 5-star Tokyo Dome levels. I feel as if this podcast deserves more stars than Alpha versus Omega.
Thank you very much,
K. Brinley. Two Japanese
back to back.
Yeah,
yeah. Who'd have thunk it? And you did say when we left you didn't make a Tokyo Dome joke. So do you want to do that now?
AJ Styles Nakamura is going to be good, but it'd be better if it was in the Tokyo Dome.
Oh, that's what it is, guys.
Take us home, Luke.
This is what you tune into the podcast for. We will see you. We're actually having a day off from podcasting because what are you going to talk about? The Hall of Fame. We will see you on Sunday for our reviews of NXT TakeOver New Orleans and possibly Ring of Honor's Supercard of Honor 12. Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.